Well, Roland, we come to this time in the broadcast, and we've had a few of these over the course of the last months or so. I have nothing.
Oh, no.
No, I have nothing.
This was your responsibility.
This was my responsibility.
This particular segment,
absolutely.
You had nothing else to do all week.
And I got nothing. So well, it tells you the kind of week I had.
I got a thought.
Go.
Okay. In many ways, I think we are insignificant. We meaning humankind.
Agreed.
I watched a NOVA program, Carl, that used the Kepler telescope search for planets that could sustain, you know, the major elements on Earth that give life. It was oxygen and hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and I can't remember what the other one was. Anyway, the prospect of life elsewhere in the universe from a science perspective is phenomenal.
It's incredible.
The prospect of life from a religious perspective ranges from not possible to suspect.
Yes.
Wouldn't you think?
Yes.
Now, from a spiritual perspective, I say why not? Could not the Almighty, the source, the all that is, create the conditions that give life the ability to express divine love in any condition? Seems to me that works for me.
All you have to do is find a place. And by the way, as you know, we discussed this before, I'm looking for that place so I can stare up at the Milky Way.
Yeah, but it's not your closet.
No, it's not. However, when I do see that again, and those that have, I have only once in my life. I told our listeners where in Bosco, New York, around a little south of where you are.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is 1956, so it was darker then, so I can actually see the Milky Way. However, when anyone who's looking at that expanse can think that we're the only ones on this in this universe, I can't get that. Mm-hmm. I'm missing that. How can you? We are. That's insignificant in the global, in the world, the universal scheme of things.
Isn't it arrogant though to even think that we're the only expressions of divinity within this immense universe?
I've never understood that, and we were taught that, by the way.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
I know.
And even as a child, here I was, 10 years old. And I'm looking up at the universe, that very dark night, that magnificent night, and I'm seeing all the stars. And I'm saying, it's just not possible. And this is not all that I can see. And by the way, I did not know it until that night, that I'm actually looking at the past. Seeing and that blew me away. I was done. I couldn't get over that concept. I am looking at a billion years in the past, or however far back that took that light to travel here. That's insignificant.
186,000 miles per second.
Per second. And some of them are 100 million light years from us.
Yeah. Light year is another one, right?
Do the math, okay?
Yeah.
And I said to the, it was one of the priests who had us out there, and he was a scientist, and he marveled at this and saying, how could you not believe there was a creator? And he went through that process, but he also said, what we are looking at is a billion years ago. In some spots, you can actually be looking at the beginning of the universe. That did it for me. I was done.
Well,
the
technology that's available today, particularly in the Kepler telescope and the Hubble telescope.
Yes.
If you have a chance, I mean, I think National Geographic does a wonderful job in portraying some of those images.
Yes.
And, you know, they're all computer-generated and computer-enhanced because they have to be.
They have to be.
And they're kind of knitted together. But it's just magnificent.
It's magnificent.
It really is. The problem is living in the city like you did as a child, though. You didn't get a chance to see that. I did. I was rural America growing up.
And it was nice and dark.
In the summertime, you go outside, there were no street lights.
Yes.
You look up, and there it was.
Look at the benefit of your existence then, you see. It gave you an interesting perspective on things that we did not have. As far as I'm concerned, going to 14th Street was the end of the universe.
I see.
Once I got past 14th Street, I was in unknown territory.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. Here you are looking at all there is, okay? And then someone will come along and say, we are the end all and the be all. Well, we're not. We're not.
You know, even if you, in the hot nights in those days, in the 50s and 60s, if you slept outside on the roof.
Yes, we did.
The Tar Beach.
Yes.
I would sleep outside on a mattress that my dad would bring out, put down a tarp, you know, and look up and fall asleep looking at this
That's
stuff.
All you,
I mean, what a treat.
I envy your childhood because that is looking at the end and the beginning. The end and the beginning.
Yeah.
And the concept of that, that first night I saw it in my life, and I can still remember it because it only happened once, just did it for me. The beauty of it all, the wonder of it all. Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Now, you see what we did. I had nothing going, and look what well, now we're talking about the beginning and the end.
Amazing. And wonder. And I like to spell wonder O-N-E-D-E-R because we are, in fact, all one.
That's correct. I agree. I agree. Well, Carl Sabatino, one with Roland Smith.
Aha.
As we carry on and we continue on Smith Sabatino, please stay with us.
America Weekend.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
The secret to big success in your career can be boiled down to one sentence.
Do your best doing what you do best. First, do your best. That's a high standard, but it's the price you'll pay to be a big success. Start where you are. Start today. Do your best.
Second, do what you do best. How do you discover what you do best?
Ask yourself this question. What do you find easy to do that others find hard? Some people instantly know. If you're struggling for an answer, ask your friends, family, and colleagues for input.
Once you figure it out, take action. Look for opportunities to do what you do best. And do your best doing it. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Summer is sweeter with your free six-piece Lancome gift at Macy's. Enjoy Definisil's mascara and choose a night cream, juicy tube shade, and a skincare or makeup duo all in a tote. Yours with any $35 or more Lancome purchase while supplies last. Visit your Lancome counter today, only at Macy's.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Have you ever wondered what your kids dream about when they say they have a bad dream? Well, chances are their dreams have pretty standard themes. Here's the social and developmental science of it. Kids often dream about failing at some simple task or chore, and there's always the one about being caught naked, but usually that doesn't happen until adolescence. But if a child has a bad dream, here's what to do. First, get them back to bed as quickly as possible. Next morning, ask them what they dreamed about and then reassure them. You may get a clue that something deeper is bothering the child. So, what's the cheap psychological trick? Well, dreams may be just as real to your child as they think real life is. Just make sure they know the difference. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.